Yes, ma'am. What is your name?
April Altamano.
Miss April, who's going to do, okay, the Honorable Mr. Carmonis will conduct your hearing, ma'am.
Ma'am, can you hear me clearly?
Yes.
Can you state your full name and ABC number for the record?
Yeah, it's April Altamano, 294621.
Thank you, ma'am, and good morning.
Good morning.
You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is about the one alleged violation listed under warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on what looks to be September 4th, 2018. Is that correct, ma'am?
Yes.
That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. Hearing no attorney with you, are you representing yourself today, ma'am?
Yeah, myself.
Thank you. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. You cannot see us, but in the room we have the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright, the Honorable Mr. David Neal, and my name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel lead for this hearing. Also in the room is our community corrections officer, Mr. Turner, and he'll be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer. Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So Ms. Altamirano and Mr. Turner, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
The truth.
I do.
Thank you. Now, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, with phase two deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. When I read the allegation to you, you need to respond whether it is true or false. If you believe the allegation is false, the board will take further testimony from the Department of Corrections, and we can talk about it. But keep in mind the board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you?
Yes, sure.
Thank you. I will begin phase one by reading from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in the criminal measure company as follows. Violation of condition number two is demonstrated by a failure to report to your assigned parole officer for a face-to-face contact visit on or about November 21st, 2017, as verbally directed on October 24th, 2017. Your whereabouts were unknown, thus you have absconded from supervision. Ms. Altamirano, is this true or false?
It's true.
Thank you, ma'am. Just 1 second. And I'll make a motion. Based on Ms. Altamirano's admission, I move to find a delinquent as she violated the terms and conditions of her supervision and that she may have her hat lapsed in the criminal measure company.
Seconded.
Seconded by Mr. Neal, agreed upon by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, and Ms. Rittenhouse. Okay, Ms. Altamirano, we're going to continue with the second phase of your hearing. And it is during this phase that the board will determine whether or not your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Turner, our community corrections officer, is going to give us additional background information about your case. If we'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly for questions, and you'll be able to speak to the board in detail. Okay, ma'am?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Turner.
Ms. Altamirano was released from ADC custody on 6-16-2017 and arrested on 8-21-2018 by Phoenix PD. No new charges are noted. She was returned back to ADC custody on 8-21-2018 with an adjusted CSCD of 12-14-2018 with 273 absconded. Current conviction, 2011, possession, sale of inhalant, 1 year. Prior convictions, 2011, possession, sale of inhalant, 1 year, 6 months. 2013, possession, sale of inhalant, 2 years, 3 months. 2014, child adult abuse, 4 years. This is her second term in ADC with a CUIR score of 2-3. mental health score of 2, substance abuse score of 3. There's no STG information, no prior terms of supervision. Disciplinary is moderate with disorderly conduct noted. There were other arrests, however, charges were either not filed or dismissed. She has a GB score of G2, V1.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Back to you, Ms. Altamirano. I'm going to make a quick review of your case supervision summary. It looks like that you were released from the Department of Corrections in June 2017 with an approved residence to reside at Scully House in Phoenix. On June 27, 2017, you were given parole officer consent to move from Scully House to move to the home of your father, Francisco Altamirano, at 802 North 30th Street, apartment 1134, Phoenix, Arizona. On November 16, 2017, looks like the community corrections officer spoke with your sponsor. Mr. Altamirano disclosed to CCOA really that you no longer lived in his home and that you moved out approximately a week prior with no other information provided. Your current residence was unknown and you failed to contact your assigned parole officer after changing your place of residence. So Ms. Altamirano, what were you eating, where were you living when you left your father's residence?
I was staying on 219th Ave and Dunlap at the Wood Springs Motel. And then from there I was staying again at Crosswords on 23rd Ave and Peoria at the Crosslands Motel.
Okay, ma'am. What caused these moves from hotel to hotel?
Well, I was staying, my dad had kicked me out, well, kicked everybody out that was staying there, because he was having some problems. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know where to go, and I tried to go stay at my grandma's house, but he also went to my grandma's house and started fighting with everybody. So my grandma said she didn't want no problems. So I went on, talked to this lady who was helping people out, and she rented me a room. Spring renting me a room on Wood Springs because I had found out that I was pregnant and I was giving him up for adoption. So they rented me a room till the day I had my baby on March 5th. So from the day I left my dad's house, it was in November, like around November 10th, to the day, no, November 11th to the day of March 5th, they housed me at Wood Springs and Crosslands for my pregnancy.
Okay, ma'am. I certainly am not trying to traumatize you with this question, but were you able to handle that adoption while you were outside the prison system?
And
March 2018.
Yes.
Okay. And there's a note here that you were employed at Orange.
Yeah, I was working at Orange. It's a janitorial work on 24th Street and Thomas. I was there, I was working for them for 2 months.
Okay, and so
and then
was
before I get arrested,
The only reason why
I scouted it is because I didn't know where else to go, and my parole told me that I can't stay at a motel. I have to have a resident housing. So I kind of got scared, and the adoption people agency didn't want me to be in prison or I was pregnant or anything would happen to me. So that's the only reason why I scowned it. I wasn't doing no drugs. I wasn't drinking or anything. After I had my baby, I was going to come in. I was working at Capsules before I got arrested. I was saving 3 checks because that was me and my husband. What's plan was for me to come back and take care of my parole so I won't have to look over my shoulders or anything. I came back and then recently he passed 2 weeks ago.
Your
I don't, yeah, I lived with her.
Your husband passed away?
Yes, and so that's why I'm here trying to finish my parole. So I won't have to look back on my shoulders or anything. But I have no one else when I go out because he was my only one that I had. But other than that, I'm doing okay here. I have the girls from Carlos are here for me too. They've been, since the day I found out, they've been giving me advice, being there for me and everything. So I just don't want to waste you guys' time, and I don't want to waste my time. So if you guys are not going to let me out, I understand. But I really want to remain my time to do here, to finish my parole here.
Okay, then. I want to be clear with you on this because the board will discuss this case, but are you saying that that you want to kill your number from this point forward and just finish your time, or what is your choice?
Well, if I do have that chance to get out and do my parole, I will take the chance, but if I don't, then I have no problem doing my parole here.
Okay, I understand. Well, then we'll just continue with the hearing. It looks like that you did have some your analysis test and you stayed clean, so I want to commend you for that. You said earlier during the discussion that you didn't use any drugs or alcohol, and there's no way for me to confirm that, but if that's the case, I commend you, and I hope you're staying clean. I will ask you also, I know you said that you're alone, but it does sound like, doesn't sound like the best relationship with your father, but do you have any other relatives outside of the prison system?
The only one that I had, that I told you, was my husband.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I don't have anybody, because I don't know if my grandma, if I ask her again, I guarantee she's going to say no, because like I said, my dad, I don't know what's going on with him, and I'm not going to put no blames on him or anything. I'm a grown adult. But other than that, I have no relatives here in Phoenix. Everybody in my mom's side, they live in the reservation up north.
And which reservation is that now?
It's Jericho, like close to Holbrook, Navajo County.
When you are finally free and clear of your prison sentence, do you have contacts up there?
Well, the person that I was talking about, her name is Nicole and Leslie. They're these people who, they're like a program, DKE, and I can't remember. Yeah, DKing Foundation. They offered me a chance to go for a year to Grand Canyon so I can finish my schooling. And so they can help me with the job and how they pay for my housing.
Okay.
So I'm thinking I might end up, because if I have nowhere to go from here, I might end up taking the offer, what the offer that they're offering me.
Okay.
To go to Grand Canyon and start over there.
I'm going to ask you some standard questions, and I think you've answered quite a bit of them, but you're missing for 273 days. I recognize part of that was to have a baby. You continued to be missing from community supervision after March. So what were you doing during that time?
They were helping me too. The lady was still helping me. We're saving up to get a house, not a house, but apartment right there on 2020 Ave in Glendale, because they're only asking us for $700. Lorenzo was supporting us until I got on my foot when my C-section was healed enough for me to go back to work. And then I got a job at Pasco's on Priest and 10th Ave. And I've been working there. And then they ended up saying that they couldn't rent the room for us anymore. So I told them, okay, they said they can only help us for one more week. So they helped us one more week at Crosslands. So me and my husband, we stayed at the park for like 3 days until we came up with money. And then we went to the motel again for 3 days. And then that's when I still was saving my checks that I have right now, or my property, so I can come back. I was going to work a month so I can have 3 checks so I can come back and finish my parole, because that's what we planned for me to do, was for me to come back, finish it.
Okay, and what caused the Phoenix Police Department to make contact with you when you were arrested on your absconder warrant?
Oh, well, I was going, when I was walking back to Morden to take the trial, me and my boyfriend were drinking. He was going to go meet his friend, but then when he was coming back, some guy was following him. We don't know who it was, and he kept trying to fight. He kept trying to fight my husband. So they got in a fight, and then the cops pulled us over, and they told me, like, you have an ID? And I go, yeah. So I give him my ID, and I told him, I do have a PVT warrant. And then she's like, okay, well, we're taking you in. So they took me in.
Okay, I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. I don't have any questions from fellow board members. Ms. Altamirano, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? Ma'am?
I can hear you. What?
Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us, but this is your hearing. So, do you have anything else you would like to share?
No. For right now, no, I don't.
Thank you, ma'am. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, especially because we're on telephone, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself under the open meeting laws of Arizona. So if you'll just stay on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision.
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am. The board has been on discussion. Fellow board members, I certainly feel for Ms. Altamirano's struggle. It sounds like that she went through a pregnancy and adoption. She recently lost her husband and is having some strain with her family here in Phoenix. Unfortunately, it's hard to look past that she was missing from community supervision for 270 days. In which we could not account for activity. So I'm not finding her a suitable candidate for her, pardon me, returning her to community supervision, but I'm certainly open to discussion.
Great.
I'm going to go ahead and make a motion then, and that is based on the information provided to us in warrant number 2017-W4081, our discussion with Ms. Altamirano, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections. I move to remove from the supervision is Ms. Altamirano as delinquent, violating the terms and conditions of her supervision and have lapsed. She was about to lapse with the manager company, inasmuch that she was missing from community supervision for 273 days, and we could not account for her activities in the community. And that is my motion.
Second.
Agree. Seconded by Mr. Neal, agreed upon by Dr. Wright. Agreed upon by Mr. Johnson and Ms. Rittenhouse. Ms. Altamirano, your supervision has been revoked, but you will be released on or about, let me double check, December 14, 2018. I recognize that in September, that may sound like a long way away, but it's actually less than 3 months. So we encourage you to put together a plan for your return to the community. We wish you a safe return, and hope that you can reestablish contacts with family or pursue your job interests here in the Valley. We do hope for a safe and successful return to the community. The hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place, and we'd appreciate it, Ms. Altamirano, if you give the phone to your CO3. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.